Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
Yes, we certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. The title of the show tonight is Islam is Truly Cruel. So there you go, guys, and some of the things that we've been hearing about lately makes us realise that that is the case. But before we I'm going and waving myself already. But also, the co-host and the producer of the show this evening is our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger, a.k.a. Demo Fever Girl. Welcome to the show, Kel. Good to see you.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing tonight?
What's up?
Oh, you know what? Oh, boy, you're going to love that one. But we do. We have a very, very difficult topic that we will be discussing tonight, and the person that will be leading this topical discussion is going to be our very own Agador. And I'm not looking forward to covering this, but Jeff, you know, the thing is that what we do when we are involved in the anti-jihadist movement is we are obligated to share these stories. Agador brought this to our attention, Jeff, a couple of days ago.
He certainly did, Kel.
And so that we have decided that Agador is going to lead this discussion. And but we should say
hello to the
panel. Oh, yeah. Something else, too. Tommy's going to be late tonight, right?
That's correct, Kel. Yeah. Give me a call. Just let me know that it'd probably be, he'd be on within half an hour, say 15, half an hour, 35 minutes, something like that. But he will be here, though. But we're not short today because he's just finished from work, so of course he's got a lot to, because it's a bit of demo fever that's building up. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a demonstration in Rotherham this Saturday. This Saturday, and we're going to big it up tonight. But before we do, we had someone and they just dropped, and that was cool. So Sue from New Mexico. God bless us.
Tim just dropped, and so did
Tim that dropped.
Sue. Yeah, they both dropped
back.
The same time.
Tim's coming and
going. Oh, he's back. Okay.
What's he like, eh? Anyway, I'm going to bring both the panelists in this evening. Of course, Mr. Agador, with a nickname tonight. What's up? And
what up?
What up? And
what up?
And also now, Kel, this new bell, he's definitely going in stealth, and that's very much our very own Tim Burton, Cat Strangler 101. Looks very sleek in his new collar with those diamantes on there and all the bits. So welcome to you, Tim. Fancy Feater. What's that?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Tim, our little fancy feaster.
Yeah.
Oh,
good evening, everybody. Feaster. Good evening, Jeff. Good evening, Kel. I'm glad you're admiring my diamante collar. I went out this week and splashed out on some new cufflinks as well to match. So I've got matching.
I thought the girl might have
been in the middle. In other words, you're a tuxedo cat tonight.
Yes. In the terminology, it's matching collar and cuffs. So I'm looking good tonight. Yes, looking good.
As we shuffle, we might be uncomfortable at sending you a new collar, Tim.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you go up into above the show notes, please take a look at the slides. I found a beautiful brand new photo of our very own Tim Burton in there for you with his very fancy collar.
Oh, yes. Very pucker, Tim. Very pucker, old chap. Tim, it's good to have you here. It's good to have you here tonight. And of course, Agador, it's good to have you here this evening as well. And
Agador,
you've got a story that's quite going to it's going to hit home a little bit, isn't it, Agador, what we want to discuss tonight. So I'm going to bring you in. How are you this evening, mate?
I'm really good, Jeff. Hello to you, and hello to Kel and Tim and Chatbox and everyone. Hope everyone's doing great. You know, a big what's up from the States. I brought this one in because this is the pretty much the story of the week over here. The The story about Islam that the state stream media over here is actually paying attention to out of, you know, the tons of things that are happening. All right. What I'll do is I'll read these. I've actually found one article and a follow-up, and they're both fairly short, so you guys won't have to put up with my horrible reading style for very long. Okay. Now, this for people who don't know about this in the UK and around the world, this is from first one is from The Blaze. It's California School District gives students absolutely jaw-dropping assignment in attempt to meet Common Core standards. Now, that's what this is you know, partly about is this new educational system, which a lot of people are calling an indoctrination system, and here's the story. All right, the Rialto School District in California is under fire over a stunning eighth grade assignment that asked students to write an argumentative essay about the Holocaust and whether or not you believe this was an actual event in history or merely a political scheme created to influence public emotion and gain wealth. Now, as a sidebar, how the hell anybody is supposed to be able to gain wealth from the existence of the Holocaust, I don't know, but I'll continue. The thoroughly debunked idea that the Holocaust was nothing more than a quote-unquote hoax created by the Jews has long been alleged by anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists, and for that, as a sidebar, read Islamists. The San Bernardino Sun first reported on the 18-page assignment, and they do deserve the credit. No one was saying anything about this assignment, folks. There were no parental complaints. I want you guys to get that. There were no parental complaints. Somehow, the San Bernardino Sun newspaper got hold of this, and they broke the story. All right. This assignment gives students, three sources to use to write their essays. One of the sources reportedly alleges the gassings in concentration camps were a hoax, and there is no evidence Jews actually died in the gas chambers. All right. Source traced a web page to a web page on BibleBelievers.org.au states, with all this money at stake for Israel, it is easy to comprehend why the Holocaust hoax is so secretly guarded. In whatever way you can, please help shatter this terrible myth. It is time we stop sacrificing America's welfare for the sake of Israel and spend our hard-earned dollars on Americans. Now, the other two sources were from About.com and History.com, and that was from a report from KTLA. That's a television station in Los Angeles. We're about done here. Let's see. In a statement issued on Monday, the school district said, and dig this, guys. The school district said interim superintendent Muhammad Z. Islam would meet with administrators to make sure references to the Holocaust not occurring are taken out of current assignments and not included in future assignments. The Los Angeles area chapter of the Anti-Defamation League sent an email to the school district blasting the assignment. It is the ADL's general position that an exercise asking students to question whether the Holocaust happened or, has no academic value. It only gives legitimacy to the hateful and anti-Semitic promoters of Holocaust denial, the email reportedly states. Now, that's the end of that argument. It's not the end of the article, but I'm going to stop there and give you guys a chance to respond a bit. And there is a small follow-up article. It's not a big one. So
yeah,
I'm going to turn it back over
to
you, Jeff.
Say, thank you, Agador. I've been absolutely fuming as you've been reading, these Holocaust deniers, and it always comes from a source of Islam. Islam's got its paws in it. I get, and of course, isn't there a law that prohibits people speaking about, you know, the Holocaust denying? Because I think there should be, because this is so, so wrong.
I think that's only in Germany. I'm not too sure about elsewhere.
Oh, is it? I'm sure we got this law in this
not
country
too sure.
as well. I don't know, Tim. You're more up to speed
As I'm aware, Jeff, it is just in Germany. I mean, it's obviously a sensitive subject pretty much everywhere, but
yes.
I think it only has force of law in Germany, to my knowledge. So I think Kel's
right
when she
says
that.
Thank you, Tim. As I say, I wasn't too sure. I thought we followed as well as the Germany. I thought it was just that we had that on board, but. I just find it totally offensive when people deny the Holocaust. I don't know any of our listeners out there. It just angers me so much. So many stories, so many of our family or members of our family who went into these concentration camps at the end of the days and some of the things they saw was absolutely horrific. How dare these people deny it? Just to gloss over the case and try to put dispute against putting an anti-Semitic stamp on things. It proves the hatred of these people for for other people of the Israelis. I think it just makes me feel sick in my stomach that these people get away with speaking the way they do about these people. I really do, Tim, Kel, Agador. It just boils my piss, as a friend of mine used to say. Excuse my language, but that's what a friend of mine... And that does exactly the same as me. It makes me so, so angry at these comments of these people and allowed to get away with it as well. That's what gets me. And, Kel, your thoughts about this. I don't know how it makes you feel, but it angers me so much. It really does.
Well, of course, we should be outraged when... this sort of behaviorism is brought to us in front of us. Of course, there should be a sense of outrage, but we also have to remember that there were 11 million people that were killed at the hands of the Nazis.
Yes.
6 million Jews. We had the gypsies. We had the homosexuals. We had the mentally retarded. We had so many displaced people, the poor. We had people who were left-handed, for God's sake. 11 million
yes.
people slaughtered at the hands of the Nazis. So when Ecuador brings these stories forward and I have to listen to them, like I say, I mentioned this at the very beginning of the program, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very, very tough job that we do, but it is important that we get it out to you. Of course, this is going on. This is 2014, Jack, and this is still going on. God.
Yeah. It certainly is, Kel, and that's the trouble with it, is it does continue unabated, the hatred out there. And as you say, Kel, the people that died at the hands of the Nazis, not only that, let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that there was a lot of experimental operations on women, children, to better the selves of the Nazis, the war machine of theirs. So many things, so much evil. We talk about, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about the Islam being this evil cult, and it truly is. And the Nazis was no different. Islam and the way the Nazis were, are very similar, just the same, different coins. So just another turn of the coin. But the same sort of ideology, but the same way that the inhumanity against his fellow man. Would you not say, Tim, the inhumanity of it all, that really does get to the heart of it?
Actually, before I pass it to Tim, I just want to bring something up. I wanted to just say that we have a moral obligation to our fellow man. I do not understand the inhumanity in which people can think, and that if they don't think that Islam is not related to Nazism, they are so wrong. Just look at the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem during World War II. And now I'm passing it back to you, Tim.
Thank you, Kel.
Well said, Tim. Well said, Kel.
What was the question again? Sorry. Where did we get to?
About 6 feet closer to the mic, Tim.
You're away from the mic. Yeah, Tim, we were talking about the obvious implications with Nazism and, of course, where the Islamofascism is involved, how very much they're closely acquainted, and Kel just bring up the Grand Mufti. So, Tim, over to you.
I think what you were saying earlier, Jeff, is absolutely right. Islam and Nazism are really just two sides of the same coin. And it goes back to what we were talking about on previous shows, that despite what cultural relativists would say to us about not judging people and not having absolute standards of good and evil, is entirely wrong. There is such a thing as good and evil, and there is such a thing as unmitigated evil. And Nazism and Islam are both examples of unmitigated evil. Absolutely no benefit for humanity. And if they are allowed to run riot, as the Nazis did in the years of World War II in the 1930s and early 1940s, and Islam is doing now, the only things that come out of it are things which are of no benefit to humanity whatsoever. There is absolutely no good in Islam in the same way that there was no good for humanity in Nazism. And for all those people out there who say that we shouldn't judge, I, to use a technical term, would just say bollocks to that, because we should judge.
Yeah.
And we should... We should certainly have hostility towards Islam in the same way that we did towards Nazism. We should certainly discriminate against Islam in the same way that we did towards Nazism. And if that means that people who subscribe to Islam find themselves discriminated against as a result, I say that's just tough. What they have a choice. They don't have to continue to subscribe to a murderous cult that would see the enslavement of humanity. And I think we're going to have to put a stark choice towards Muslims in the future and say, if you choose to stay within that murderous cult, then you deserve everything you get. And I don't care what people say about discriminating against Muslims. If they don't like it, there is going to have to be a choice to be made, and there is going to be a reckoning. So I think you've got to look at it all in the terms of good and evil. And if you're not on the side of good, if you're not with us, you're against us.
Absolutely. And Jeff, just to let you know that we have a caller on the air, and this is Michael Green, and we recognize that voice that has graced our radio programs in the past, and it's wonderful to welcome him, eh, Jeff? Michael Green, hello, how are you?
Jeff and Tim and Kel, and I see you have another gentleman there.
Hey,
in the studio.
Michael.
Agador.
Hello, Michael.
Agador, yeah.
Good
well, it's been a while since
Michael.
I've been on this program.
Greetings.
And I want to say that I've been following your work, and it's inspiring and informative to hear the things that come over the EDL radio program, especially in the wake of the day-by-day occurrences of the religion of peace. So I've been pretty inundated, as all of you know. I do charitable work with the military here in the United States, primarily wounded service members who have been on the battlefield and fought these savages in a literal way. So sorry for my absence, my long absence, but I hope to make a worthwhile contribution now and in the future.
Well, you always do, Michael. It's a pleasure to hear your voice again. And I wondered where you've been. I know you've probably been very, very busy. But to have you once again on the show with your insight on things is always fantastic to hear you. And thanks for the heads up to us all as well. It's really appreciated that you've been following us very closely, what we've been doing since you've been away even. So Thank you, Michael. And as I say, it's good to have you back, brother.
And Tim, I've been following you, of course, and the great news that things worked out for yourself and that.
Oh yeah, thank you, Michael. Yeah,
so you were vindicated. You were vindicated, righteously vindicated.
Yes, indeed. Old Fizzy Bollocks got his ass kicked, and we're all very happy about that. So thank you, Michael.
Yep. It's always great when the Infidels have a win, a big win.
Yeah, yeah. It was a memorable day.
I was going to say, Michael, have you heard? You've heard of the plight of Paul Weston, which is he stood on the steps, he was speaking, and as we've often talked before, Michael, about Winston Churchill's speeches, he actually was speaking about his 1898 memoirs. He was reading a statement out from his book, and he got arrested for it. And they're trying to do him for a racial hatred crime. Can you believe it, Michael? This is what's happening. And he is a politician for the Liberty GB. He got carted off the street.
I was flabbergasted, to use that term. And I was taken aback. Yeah, he quoted Winston Churchill's book, The River Wars, where, of course, the young Winston Churchill went to Sudan as a member of the British military, and he fought the savages. And, of course, he had a first-hand account to relay, and accurate and on-spot. And, of course, he gets arrested for speaking the words of the greatest prime minister, in my opinion, as an American, of the United Kingdom, of Great Britain. And he gets taken away, and he's got this charge coming. And so it's going to be determined if the Crown Office, if I'm saying it rightly, is going to prosecute him, and of course, if they do, I believe it holds a maximum of 2 years in prison. So I just sat here in bewilderment, and I thought, well, if this is where things are at, that for quoting Winston Churchill, that you actually can be arrested in England today, it is so indicative, and it's very disturbing. It's an understatement.
It is, Michael. There's someone else
who
got done.
You know, it'd be like, I was going to
say, Michael,
analogy.
Somebody else got done for it as well, stood on the steps somewhere
else. Yeah,
it'd
be like if I stood up in the United States somewhere and made a public speech and I quoted some very well-known American, one of our founding fathers. As a matter of fact, John Quincy Adams had some very strong words about Islam, also sixth president of the United States, similar to Sir Winston Churchill. So if I stood up in the public square somewhere in the U.S. and quoted what President Adams had written about Islam, and then I get carted off to jail. And what does that say
about...
We
have to be very careful about what we're discussing when it comes to Paul Weston's arrest and the pending charges. I cannot remember the name of the commissioner, but he did come on record as saying that Paul Weston was not arrested for quoting Winston Churchill's Rivers of Blood passage per se, but he was arrested for being on property in which he was not welcome, and he refused to remove himself from the property. So we just have to be a little careful about that. This is a very, very delicate situation that Mr. Weston is undergoing, so...
Yeah, I mean,
One at a time.
I think the initial charge that Kell just quoted was dropped, and it's now inciting racial hatred.
Yeah, that's the point. With this commissioner, he came on to speak to the media several days afterwards, and he said it was entirely incorrect that Paul Weston was arrested for a racial crime. He was arrested because he did not move away from the spot that he was ordered to by police officers. Well, that's only as true as far as it goes, because he was later de-arrested for that and re-arrested instantly on a charge of racially aggravated harassment. And that's the charge that everybody is exercised about. And he chose not to. This is the commissioner. He chose not to address that. And I rather think that he's got some explaining to do as a result, because he was willfully misleading in his media statement. He was willfully misleading the public when he said that Paul Weston was not arrested on a racially aggravated harassment charge, which is true initially, but it's not the whole story. So I think he's got some further explaining to do.
Degradation of duty.
Well, not exactly. I think it's willfully misleading the public, quite honestly.
Yeah,
and I personally think that if he doesn't come out with some clarification in between now and May the 24th, which is when Paul Weston is due to appear on in front of the magistrates on the initial not arraignment, but the idea is that you go in front of the magistrates to be asked, how do you plead? And if you plead not guilty, then the case is adjourned to a later date, which I'm sure will be the case. But in between now and May the 24th, the Crown Prosecution Service and the Commissioner have got the opportunity to get their story straight and decide whether or not they're going to continue to press charges, because I think they are going to find that they're going to cause more problems than they solve if they continue to press charges. I'm absolutely certain, for example, that the Crown Prosecution Service only brought the charge in the same way that the charge was brought against me, not because they thought they had a realistic chance of winning the case, but because they wanted to have a chilling effect on free speech. And that really does need to be addressed, because if there's a lot more of that goes on, we're going to find it very difficult to criticise Islam, and there's nothing more worthy of criticism in the current political environment than Islam itself. So we need to be able to do it freely and without fear.
And the logic problem is what they're going to have. Jeff, I'll hand it right back.
No, that's okay, Hector.
The logic problem is their real problem, as Tim says. If this goes to public trial in front of a jury with any kind of press coverage, then the question is going to be asked, well, what was it that caused the harassment in the first place? What was the cause of the harassment? Well, you know, it can't be the gentleman just standing there, looking dapper. It has to be the reading of Winston Churchill's words. And I think that is their conundrum now, because that is the cause of the so-called harassment, and that's the trap that they're in. So it's going to be a question: do they want to go ahead and possibly look really horrible for this, or do they want to just quietly drop it? It's going to be interesting to see which way it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it certainly will, because there's two separate charges. There's two separate aspects to the charge. One is, how can it be racially aggravated anything when Islam is not a race? That's something that I successfully argued in my trial. And the other thing, of course, is the harassment charge. In order to prove harassment, you must prove that a course of action was likely to cause fear, alarm, or distress. And I feel that's be a very, very difficult thing to prove. If somebody's just standing in a public place with a megaphone and quoting a statesman from the 100 years ago, I feel you're going to be very hard pressed to prove a course of harassment. So I think the charge has no realistic chance of actually resulting in Paul Weston being found guilty. But it's the process is the punishment. In the same way that it is in so many other Western countries, where charges like this are brought purely to stop people being critical of Islam.
Good point there, Tim, and I think that is the whole case. This is what they're trying to do, to stifle debate, stifle a speaking out against this cult of theirs, this ideology. But it's not going to stop us, and all it does is it highlights the problems we've got with this ideology out there, doesn't it, Tim? It speaks for itself, volumes, doesn't it? Well, we see what's going on in the world, the way that the young girls are being kidnapped and sold into slavery. This is all a part of Islam, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the whole thing.
It is, and I think that the answer to all these problems is to freely be able to discuss Islam without any fear whatsoever, because if everybody of goodwill truly understood what Islam involves and all the aspects that, in the way that we understand it as listeners on this show and as presenters on these shows, if it were truly understood, Islam would not be tolerated in Western countries a minute longer. And not only that, but if Muslims themselves truly understood the evil that is inherent in Islam, of course, there's always the death sentence for apostasy, of course. But if it weren't for those things, Islam would disappear in a puff of smoke, because it is. From a philosophical point of view, it's an unsustainable thing. It only exists through fear, violence, intimidation, and terror, and the threat of killing anybody who leaves it. So it's a thoroughly evil ideology, and that humanity would be far better without it, and we all need to be able to stand up and point to it and say, this is no longer acceptable in civilized societies. Be gone, we should say. Yeah. Be gone.
I'm going to play that clip that we have from Martin Hive, and that this involves the Rotherham demo that is coming up this Saturday, and that'll give you a chance to catch your breath there, Jeff.
Thank you, Kel.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, EDL members, all of you, please get to your ROs. There is a huge demo coming up this Saturday in Rotherham. And Jeff, you want to expand on that before I play the clip?
I think basically you've done it, Kel, that there is a demonstration in Rotherham. Hopefully we'll have Tommy on late, a little bit later, and he'll give some details of you will meet him.
Well, actually, you know what? Tommy is here right now, and Tommy can tell us in his own words. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You caught me unprepared, Ben.
That's what she said.
The Rotherham demo, we're just getting ready to play the clip. And tell us why we're going back to Rotherham.
That is the main question. Why are we going back? Once again, Islamic grooming gangs. Yay. Wonderful.
Slavery gangs. Yes, the slavery
exactly.
gangs. Exactly.
I mean, basically, you think by now Modern City Council will get the idea. But as you all know, who is running Modern City Council? Some nice big Islamist who's basically trying to wipe out the indigenous English British people in Rotherham. So basically, it can become a nice little Islamic enclave right in the heart of Yorkshire. Well, not on our bloody watch. But I have got
Do we have, Tommy, before you go on, do we have the names of people on the council who are making the decisions which are resulting in Islamic grooming gangs allowed to have the field day they're currently having? Are there people that we can specifically name and shame?
I can have a look. I know there's something on the event page a while ago, but I've just got to find
I think maybe that's a question worth asking.
I think you're right, Tim. That is well worth asking. Maybe Sunny can help us. Sunny England is here right now. And hey, Sunny, do you think that we could obtain a list so that we could name and shame? And hey, Sunny, hello. It's great to hear your voice, and nice to see you back.
Hello.
You know, guys, how's things? I'll do my best. How's everyone? Hello.
Very well.
Hi, mate. Good to see you, Sonny. Ain't spoke to you in a little while. I hope you're well, Sam.
I'm right, thank you, mate. I'll do my best, see if I can get some names up for everyone. So bear with me, and I'll see what I can get.
Hey, I'm just having a look now.
Good man. Good,
yeah,
good man.
I'm sure the names of the councillors are all public, in the public domain. It's just if we had some inside knowledge on who is responsible for the decisions which have led to the situation we currently have, then I think it would be helpful to make sure that they know that they are going to be under the spotlight.
I think Tim makes a very good point, Ed, didn't you, Kel? That that is the case, and
I
do. Know that...
Absolutely. I would love nothing more.
I found them.
So I was going
to say, Kel,
while
we're
going to
play that clip, but what I would really like to do...
I do have Tim's here, guys. I've just found them.
very good.
Basically, the part of where we're going, run by Jhangir Akhtar, who is the Labour Party councillor, and Shukat Ali, again, who's a Labour Party councillor of the part above and where we're going to.
Okay. I just think a little bit of digging, finding out some more about the background of these people would be helpful. We've got a day or so before the demo itself, and I just think a little bit of judicious digging, maybe by people on the ground in and around Rotherham, who might be better placed to actually go and find that information out, maybe from the council offices themselves, because that information ought to be available to anybody who asks for it. You might have to turn up in person.
And I just want to let people know that we have very, very, very smart and astute listeners. And Darren Ward in the chat room just sent a link. And the councillors of Rotherham, you can get in touch with them. Darren put the link right in the chat room, ladies and
gentlemen.
Darren,
thank you so much.
You can get in touch with Shabana Ahmed, Jhangir Akhtar, Shukat Ali. Oh, gee, big surprises going on here, eh, ladies and gents? Jenny Andrews, Lauren Asbury, Alan Atkin, Ian C. Barron, Christine Beaumont, Dominic Beck, Alan Buckley, Josephine A. Burton, hopefully no relation to Tim Burton, Maggie Clark, Simon Curry, Judith Dalton, Barry Dodson, Linda Donaldson, John Doyle, Sue Ellis, Jackie Falvery, John Foden, John Gilding. They are here. The whole list is right here, ladies and gentlemen. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to expand on what our dear man Darren sent to us. And here is the list of the councillors in Rotherham. But there you go.
I think we should
play that clip. What do you think?
I think that's a brilliant thing to do. As you say, ladies and gentlemen, we have got, and this is what we're discussing, the reason why we're going back to Rotherham this Saturday is because we have to keep revisiting when we got slavery gangs still at work, and there's still more of them being uncovered. As we talk, a couple of weeks ago, there was some more cases uncovered. That's the reason why we keep going back. That's the why the ED will continue to go back to these places where these cull animals prey on the young children in our societies. So there you go. So with that, Kel, I'm going to pass it back to you, and we're going to play this this promo for the demonstration for this Saturday. Go ahead, Kel.
If you want to find out why the English Defence League are protesting in Rotherham on Saturday the 10th of May, then visit the Law and Freedom Foundation website and read their report about the Muslim paedophilic gangs that have been raping, torturing and abusing non-Muslim children for decades all across this country. read the Law and Freedom Foundation's report about how the police, social services, local councillors, the media and politicians in this country have been trying to cover up these vile crimes to protect their own careers and cared nothing about these poor children and allowed them to be gang raped and sold like slaves into child prostitution. To help us expose the people who have allowed this to happen, then come and join us in Rotherham on Saturday the 10th of May and help us bring an end to this, because if we do not stop them, they will allow more and more and more young girls, children, to be gang raped by Muslim paedophiles in this country.
Exactly what Martin had to say on the issue, the reason why the English Defence League are returning to Rotherham, now you know. And we continue to highlight this issue until they get the point. And otherwise they don't, we keep going back there. That's all there is to it, isn't it, guys?
Well, that's what Tommy said. Yeah, like we're going back again. Like, how many bloody times do we have to go back there, for goodness sake?
Until it stops, that's how many times.
Take notice of it. Sorry. I was going to say, do you know what, though, Kel? I just noticed, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when we talk about the studio, we've got so many people in the studio. We've almost got as many people in the studio as we got in the chat room this evening, haven't we, Kel?
You noticed?
Yeah, it's a... It's not a Christmas tree lit up here, isn't it, Kel?
You know what, though? We have the best people in the studio, so I have no complaints.
Oh, we've got fantastic people.
That's right.
No, not just in the studio, but I'm in the chat room. We've got great people.
Oh, well, we have the best people in the chat room all the time anyway, Jeff. Come on. But the people joining us in the studio is just absolutely phenomenal. It's wonderful.
It is, and we discussed this, me, myself and Kel. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we know this, the issues to be discussed are so important, but you know what, myself, Kel, Tim, Tommy, Sonny, Agador, we all love doing what we do, because we know it's so important. Every single one of us, the reason why we're here and we do these shows is because it's a calling to us. We know this is so important, what we do, and how we act and what we do at this moment in time could really be, you know, sort of for the future of a future generation. So I think we're working so hard to stop, as Tim's often said, you know, that there could be a very dark times ahead of us, didn't you, Tim? Many times we spoke about, the doom and gloom and what could happen. But thank goodness we are. And I think, you know, Tim, Kel, Tommy, everybody listening, we are making a difference. The world is listening to what we got to say. The world is waking up and has woke up. There are still a few people out there. We continue to keep knocking on the doors to make them see that what's happening in front of them is a credible threat to themselves and their future generations. And they better get real and get onto the same page as what we are, because we need everybody, don't we, Tim, Kel, Tommy? So, I mean, we need
everybody. Oh, yeah, Jeff, I totally agree. And that, we, you know, the thing about this program that Jeff created 2 years ago, and his anniversary, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is coming up in 2 weeks, so please be here because we're going to have a bit of a party to celebrate. But the one thing that we also do on this program is that we bring you not only issues within England, but we bring you issues globally. Islam yeah. is, of course, everywhere. Nobody is immune to the threat of Islam. And what I would like to do, Jeff, is that I want to pass the mic to Agador because he worked so very hard on putting this together.
Yes.
And he is talking about the issue of the kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls taken as brides by militants. And Agador,
yes.
I think that you should carry forth and relate this article.
Okay. This one is from... posted today. It's from the AP, and it's a follow up to the one that I read in the earlier segment. And it says school board condemns essay on Holocaust truth. This is from Rialto, California, and it starts: the school board of Southern California District, where students were told to write an essay on whether they believe the Holocaust really happened, has called the assignment horribly inappropriate. San Bernardino Sun says Rialto United School Board President Joan Gilbert read the remarks in a statement at a packed public meeting Wednesday night. Notice that the meeting was packed, guys. Let's see, where the board said it took full responsibility for the assignment given to eighth graders. Now, I find that interesting as well, that any political entity would take full responsibility these days for anything. I at least give them that, although I do wonder whether they had anything to do with it, but I'll continue. The district had already withdrawn the assignment and called it an error, right, but went further after a public comment session where Jewish groups, tolerance organizations, and community leaders denounced the assignment. Gilbert said eighth graders will undergo sensitivity training at the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles, and several other policy changes will be implemented. That's the entire article, you know, but I do find it significant and interesting. They're going to undergo sensitivity training, but I really wonder how much real information about Islam they are going to get. I suspect not very much, and I will turn this back over to Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the those issues that we've been discussing, Agador, and good points there. So thank you so much for that. But there's something else that we really, really wanted to talk about this evening as well, wasn't there, Agador and Kel and Tim? It's what's been going on in Nigeria with these young poor kids. Over 215 now have been kidnapped. And now it seems like the British government and the Obama's making mentions that they're going to start doing something. I just think, and I'll be quite blatant about this, guys, and people can take me as they find me. These people that do these crimes, these selling children, people's children, they need to be eradicated. And people can take me as they find me, but there's nothing else for these people. I don't know what you think, Tim. I don't know what you think, Kel. I think these people are pure evil and don't deserve better than being totally eradicated, took off the world map totally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the article that Agador is relating, this is from The Guardian, and the kidnapped Nigerian schoolgirls taken as brides by militants, there was a situation where some of them were returned, but others we will never, ever hear from again. This is the tragedy. This is the human tragedy that Islam lies in front of us and leaves in its wake. You know, I put a quote in there from the article. For 2 weeks, retired teacher Samson Dawa prayed for news of his niece, Saratu, who was among more than 230 schoolgirls snatched by Boko Haram militants in the northeastern Nigerian village of Chibok. Then on Monday, the agonizing silence was broken. When Dawa called together his extended family members to give an update, he asked that the most elderly not attend, fearing they would not be able to cope with what he had to say. We have heard from members of the forest community where they took the girls. They said they have been mass marriages and the girls are being shared out as wives among the Boko Haram militants. This
oh,
is...
Oh, my God.
These are human beings.
Yeah, shit.
May I comment on that?
Yes, please do.
Okay, let me say this. It's really important. Many of you may know anyway. Fox News is known in America as the really only source considered to be of some type of balanced truth or conservative news, with all the other media networks and, of course, cable news networks are way far to the left and they'll never publish the truth about Islam. Well, unfortunately, Fox News has kind of capitulated, and today at their website, they have decided to publish an editorial by a Muslim man named Qasim Rashid. And in this, he writes, and he's referring directly to what you're discussing about what happened in Nigeria. He calls it What Prophet Muhammad Would Say to Boko Haram. And it's pretty lengthy in detail, but I'll give you two things he puts in here that are very revealing and very disturbing, because we all know that the masses of people out there in Europe and, of course, in America, they get their information and their news from these kind of sources. So he wrote here that he likened the idea that Islam has any connection to the abduction of these young girls and, of course, forcing them to be sex slaves in regard to Adolf Hitler's claim that Christianity motivated his genocide. And I think we all know that Adolf Hitler was not a Christian. The Nazis had nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, they had plans to obliterate it as best they could, because Nazism, the socialist Nazism, stated clearly that religion could not coexist with that ideology. More important that, of course, Hitler did praise Muhammad, and he said wonderful things about Muhammad, so I think he kind of referred to if there was any religion that he found of any value, that it would be the religion of Islam, of Muhammad.
Yeah.
So my main point here is that once again we have a major news media outlet that reaches millions of people has decided to take the focus away from Islam and from the life of Muhammad and to give just different information and whitewash the truth as to the real connection that we know that Islam sanctions sex slavery. Muhammad was a slave owner, and we just have to look throughout the history of Islam. We'll see other incidents like this where young girls are kidnapped and forced into marriages and into being concubines and sex slaves.
Well said, Michael. And you make some valid point. And it does seem, as you say, one of the biggest outlets out there in America is totally trying to mislead the public of exactly what is behind it. And, of course, it is this ideology of Islam. It's been like this for a thousand years plus, 1,400 years. It has never changed its ways, ladies and gentlemen. It continues its way. It continues in the same path as their prophet did. And you hear what they say. These people, this is the way they look at things. That these girls shouldn't be there in schools learning. It's totally haram. So these people, it's haram for these young girls to be taught in schools. This is the reason why they're kidnapped and treated the way they are. And this is the thing, because they hate young girls to be educated. They hate because they want them to be beneath them. They want to treat them with total contempt. And that is the case, isn't it, guys? And I'm not sure, because we've got a busy panel tonight, Kel. Your views. But,
oh, yeah, we do.
Kel's, yeah, as I say, Kel... This
oh,
is
no,
very,
no,
very near to your
I've
heart, though,
my...
isn't it? I mean, being a woman, being a lady, girl, And what your feelings that these poor girls are going through and their families. You've got strong views about this point, haven't you, Kel?
Absolutely, I do. And this is breaking my heart. Like Agador and myself, we spent a lot of time on Skype going back and forth various articles and what we're doing for various shows, because Agador is actually quite a backbone with the Red Fox blogger as well, in that he helps me out over there as well. And when we were discussing this, I said to him, I said, you know, AGG, I don't know if I'm able to, I'm going to get through this story, but it's so damned important. And as a woman, yes, of course I have strong opinions. I mean, these women are subjugated. They're treated as nothing more than pest dispensers for Shaheeds. This is all they are. They are treated worse, of course, as we know, than cattle. They're treated worse than farm animals. Their only purpose within the realm of Islam is to pop out the Shaheeds. And the Shaheeds, ladies and gentlemen, are the suicide bombers, as it were. Those that want to engage in kinetic jihad, that's a Shaheed. These are all the worth these women enjoy within the realm of Islam. When I come across these stories and Agador brings them to my attention and your intention, Jeff, it just it eats at me alive. I lose weight over some of the issues that I have to deal with, not only on EDL Radio, but what I have to deal with on Red Fox Blogger and Radio Jihad Network. It is astounding. It's amazing. I'm surprised my head doesn't explode some days.
Yeah, I know, because it's the thing about it is, Kel, is it's like any of us. When we start, you know, going back all the years ago when I started to be involved with what's going on in this so-called, I've got to say at the time, this so-called religion of peace. Didn't understand it. Didn't, you know, live and let live. I didn't realise the implications of what was going on throughout the world until I started studying, like yourself, Tim, like Tommy, like Sammy, like most of us have done over the time. And you realise that it is just pure and utter evil. Evil, I said it on a show the other night in the chat, evil personified. That's how I would like to class this as. This is nothing good about it whatsoever. Tim's mentioned it many times. There's nothing good whatsoever about this ideology of theirs. Nothing whatsoever. In fact, all it is going to be doom and gloom for the rest of the world and the rest of the civilization if we allow it to continue and flourish as it has done for such a long time. It needs to be stand up against. It needs to be fought. It needs to be put in its place. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And
Jeff, by me.
There you go. So, Kel, I think I. You know what? I just gone past my my time.
Oh, yes. You're due for a break there, boss. Yeah. Okay, you know what? Let's take that break. I've got a really nice song here that I think is totally appropriate for the topic, and we're going to let Jeff call back into the radio program. But hey, Jeff,
yes,
when we come back, I would really like Tommy English and Sonny Boyled in particular to address this topic, because
yes,
this is why they are going to Rotherham on Saturday. But we'll take that break, and we'll see everybody back here in 4 minutes. And this is from Colleen Gray, and this is Where Now. Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Hi, Kel. Thank you, Sam. What a lovely tune. Hi, Kel.
That is Colleen Gray. She is one of my favorite American singers, and she's a friend. And I get her permission to use her music on all the radio programs, so I really want to thank Colleen Gray for that.
Yeah, that was lovely. Thank you, Kel. As I say, we got a very busy. I was wondering, Kel, before we bring the rest of our panel back, whether we could maybe have a roll call this evening, because we've got a very busy chat room, busy studio. It's a great place to be tonight. So if it's okay with you, Kel.
Absolutely. What... You know, we are so very, very appreciative, Jeff and myself, that you do grace our program. And, of course, you are listening to EDL Radio, and your host is Jeff Mitchell. My name is Kel Fritzy. I'm the Red Fox blogger, and I am his producer. But our panel, we have the best going on in the entire wide world, ladies and gentlemen. We have Agador. is the unpleasant blind guy. You can hear his programs over there at YouTube. We have Tim Burton. We have Tim Burton and Agador. We have Cat Strangler 101 and Tim Burton, the prolific writer. He's a fancy feaster tonight. But we really also want to acknowledge that Tommy English works so very hard behind the scenes. He is our foremost panelist as well. So
Tommy English is just a pleasant guy.
Wonderful. Hey, baby. But, of course, joining us is Michael Green, all the way from the United States. So it's wonderful to have Michael Green joining us in the studio. Of course, we have our very own Sunny England, who is a semi-panelist, and when time allows, he can get himself over here and join in the discussion in the studio. But, of course, also joining us, Jeff, in the studio is our very own Sweet Sue from New Mexico.
Yay!
But you have many. I'm hearing the love, baby. I'm hearing the love. But in the chat room, you have so many people. Darren Ward, who, by the way, gets a gold star because he sent some very important links, and that would aid people to get in touch with those ward counselors at Rotherham. Rotherham, and Tommy, don't tease me.
Rotherham.
Rotherham. Oh, that goes that, you know, there goes that Canadian accent again, eh?
It's great, Kel. It's great.
Yeah, who knew they were going to
get it right one day, babies. Trust me. But Darren Ward, thank you so very much for the links that you sent. You certainly aided the program in which we could direct people in with whom they can contact to have a word with these counselors. Mm. But we also have Dodgy Dave, EDL Ming, my baby.
Yay.
Eric Kyle,
yay.
Frank EDL, we have some guests in here, Jeff, we have Lucha Dora, and we have Moving Forward, we have Paul Alexander,
movie.
Another person who is instrumental in sending us links and helping us muddle through this show some days, Porky Steve, and of course, Stanger 73, my voice, and we have Vito Esposito, Mamma Mia No Sharia, the proprietor of the Radio Jihad Network and mine and Tim's and Lucha's boss. And we, Giselle, for real, just walked into the chat, and Giselle, welcome very much. I think I got everybody, Jeff. If I missed anybody, please fire me, okay?
No, well, as I say, as you can hear, ladies and gentlemen, we have got a busy, busy chat room this evening, a busy studio, and what can I say? Thank you so, all everybody for being associated with what we do. I mean, we're all in this together, for goodness sake. So thank you so much for your time to listen to the show. Sometimes it's quite early in the afternoon where you are. Sometimes it might be quite late. You might live in Australia. Mike Holt, he lives in Australia. Sometimes he listens to shows and it's quite early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You could be in Pakistan wondering what's going on.
It's what, Tommy?
You could be in Pakistan wondering what am I listening to. But basically, I would like to wish everybody a happy Victory in Europe Day. Or is it Merry Victory in Europe Day? I'm not too sure because today is the official day that the Second World War ended.
My goodness me. Thank you, Tommy, for that insight. And it's always appreciated. Tommy's always, that's what I like about Tommy. He's up to speed on all the dates that's so important to us all. So big thumbs up to you there, Tommy.
Victory in Europe Day, carolers, Victory in Europe Day meal.
I know.
There you go.
Guys, after the show, go to the next door neighbour and say, what's Victory in Europe? They'll probably go, what? I think we can agree, Victory in Europe has been forgotten, hasn't it? It was a very, very big thing back in the late 40s and early 50s.
Well, of course it was. It certainly was. It's like a lot of things, though. People are very quick to forget after a certain time when there's peace in our times, or there was so-called peace, that people do tend to switch off from, you know, the victory, which was an absolutely, it was massive, wasn't it? Come on, guys, you know, the people at the end of a war.
Oh, yeah, it was a bloody
dancing
mess.
In the streets, congoing down the streets, down the Trafalgar Square. It was fantastic, Agatha. You know what I mean? We've all seen... those pictures.
I do, yeah. I mean, it happened. It was the same over here. I mean, you know, no soldier, sailor, airman, or marine, or anything like that. Anybody in uniform, they couldn't buy drinks. You know, the barman wouldn't even accept their money. They'd just say, no, just put that away. Yeah. It was great.
And that's the way it should be, Agador. It seems over the time with political correctness, and it's the way that our soldiers now are treated, and it does seem. With disrespect a lot of times when they come home, and then some of our soldiers are thrown in prisons for doing their duty on the battlefront, being put in prison for doing their jobs, which they're paid to do. And it just goes to show you that we did live in totally different times now from back in the 40s when we won victory. No one was asking too many questions at the time now. When our souls, our brave heroes, went about their business, and the great loss of sacrifice of some of our good people, brothers and sisters out there, that lost their lives in this massive battles that we engaged in, but then again, we live in totally different times now, where they're circumspect. Do you know that the media wants to take them to task? And I think it's totally disgusting. The way that they treat our boys and girls. These are heroes. They're always going to be our heroes because they serve their country, they serve the people and freedom and everything that's important. And they get slung in prisons. You've got it in America and Canada, and we've got it over in the UK. And it's wrong, and it's something we should often talk about because they need to stop this stupid behavior. Our soldiers and lads and lasses need to do, they have to go about their business without fear of intimidation and that they're going to be hauled in and chucked in the prison cell. So it's bad. But anyway, I wanted to bring that up because I do find it's a thing that really bites at me. So thank you, Tommy, for highlighting that.
Remember the thing about the old RAF pilot had to sell his medals just so he could get private health care?
Yes, we've heard lots of stories like this, Tommy. This isn't a new story. Yeah. This has gone on for quite a number of years. You've heard stories as well, Kel, weren't you, Tim and Tommy?
Oh, yeah.
You know, these stories. And it makes me so destroyed. You know, there's people, you know, some of these have won Victoria Crosses, for goodness sake. You know, and have had to sell their medals, and it's just a sad state of affairs,
yeah.
I think the panel, everybody would agree tonight. But, Kel, we wanted to continue a little bit, didn't we? We wanted Tommy,
we just talked before the break. But I just came across this new website, and I posted the link in the chat room for everybody. It is called shariawatch.org.uk. Please go to this. They are chock full of articles pertaining to Sharia law. Everybody knows, of course, that Sharia law is one of my concentrations within the anti-jihadist movement. I call myself this, I am the self-described counter-jihadist. And so when I come across these websites, and there is a certain somebody with whom sent this to me, with whom I want to thank, with whom I work with closely. So thank you for sending this to me. So yes, please, it's a brand new website. It is shariawatch.org.uk. So please apprise yourselves of this site. But hey, Jeff, what we wanted to do is that we wanted to bring on Tommy and we wanted to bring on Sunny. But we also
yes.
want to do something a little special, and I would like to do this, Jeff, if you would indulge me.
I certainly will. Go ahead, Gil.
Okay. Sorry, slow startup.
The Royal Anglians had just returned home from a tour of duty in Afghanistan, but as their parade made its way through the streets, they were met by shouts of baby killers and burn in hell. These were the pictures that the court used to convict five of the men, which included a taxi driver and an airport baggage handler. Chanting murderers, rapists and terrorists as troops marched by went beyond legitimate protest, said the judge. They were shocking phrases that would inevitably cause distress. In a statement,
the message to Islamists and Islamism, from your caves in Afghanistan to your houses in Malmo, in Berlin, in Rome, in London, across Europe, get the hell out of Europe now, because Europe will never surrender to Islamism. We will never surrender to Islam. We are free men today, tomorrow, and forever in Europe, and we will unite Europe against Islamism. Walking across our country unchallenged has gone. The English Defence League here.
We paid a price to be free.
May the 8th, 1945.
With all the love, sweat and tears, remember who we are. Will our children
Muslim gangs peddling heroin, taking liberties in our towns and cities, taking liberties with our fucking youth, taking liberties with fucking non-Muslim youth, non-Muslim girls, raping, pimping, beating, abusing our whole system.
When
next generation of children will never, ever forgive our generation for doing nothing. It is time to make a stand and do something in order to put pressure on this spineless government.
Well, there you go, and that's a blast from the past, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it continues to be, that we do need to make a stand, and it, I think it just sums it up. Everything on that tune sums it up, and what Tommy had to say, we're still here, we're still doing what we continue to do, because it's the right thing, it's the noble thing, and we do it for the future, and as Tommy said, our future generation and our children. That's why we do it today. So, Kel, that was fantastic. That was a blast from the past, and it was a... everybody enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Tommy. If you watch the video, guys, you can see me back when I was 16 years old. I'm wearing the blue hoodie, and I had my hair dyed blonde, and I had my arms up in the air going, hey, if you watch it.
You were in short trousers there, was it, Tom? You're very young there.
I was sick. I was actually at Manchester in 2010, back when I was 16. And I thought to myself, because the night before, I dyed my hair blonde, and I put my blue hoodie on. I was on Craig's shoulder. He was just carrying me along, saying, "Can you see the front?" I said, "Yeah, I can see the front." And he kept me up there. And I stood on his shoulder for 5 miles. And I'll tell you something, guys. I felt like it just happened today. I can't believe that was almost 4 years ago.
It's just amazing, isn't it, guys? You know that it is true. I mean, we've had a lot of obstacles. We've had a lot of things thrown our way. But we're still going strong. Yes, we do know that our politicians are doing everything to try to shut us down, because they're getting a bit concerned, because we have grown to such a strong strength throughout the world. We ain't just like a little organisation. We're massive. And, of course, they do anything to silence, try to silence and stop us speaking out against Islam. But... it's not going to stop us. We'll continue to do it, no matter what the cost may be. And
say something as well,
Jeff. Go,
Jeff. It don't even that long ago when certain women who are here tonight were saying, "Tommy, go to the hospital." No, go to the hospital straight after the show. Go now. I am going to the hospital. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You were going back. You really were.
What's tradition with Tommy and myself, it seems now, is that whenever Tommy is embarking on a demo, we have breakfast together.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, guys. For those of you who wasn't here on that night, it was just after the Walsall demonstration, after I got very severely beaten up.
Yeah, you forgot to Skype me and we so that we could have breakfast in the cafe together.
I'll tell you something, guys. About the Sunday, I was coughing up blood. I came onto the show. I couldn't even speak. And Kel and Poppy and Celia were saying, "Tommy, go to the hospital." I said, "No, I'll be all right. No, you're going to go to the hospital. You're going to ring the hospital while you're on the air now. Thinking, "Oh, gosh, I got the phone out, guys. Put it on loudspeaker so everyone could hear. Okay, we'll get you an appointment, but perhaps 10.
My goodness me.
I Skype with Tommy and Jeff and myself, and Tommy were Skyping back and forth, and Tommy said, "Oh, yeah, I spit up a little blood." It's like, "What?" And Jeff and I are like, "Get to the hospital now."
Yeah, you don't muck about with yourself like that, do you, Kel? You know, that's what we said. You don't muck about. You know, he got hit in the chest with one of their large shields, and you know, it could have been quite a serious problem. Thank goodness it wasn't. But of course, you know, Kel, Kel and myself, we all got on your case, didn't we, Tommy? And
you all ganged up on me.
Well, yeah, we're going to... It's our job to do that, isn't it? It's what we're here for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was almost 2 years ago. I can't believe
it. It did.
That's Kel. Where's the time go? We've almost done this show for 2 years getting up on
it. It's been 2 years.
I know, absolutely.
But you know what I want to do, Jeff, is that we are at the top of the hour and we've only got about 25 minutes of talking points. And Agador, this article that he brought up about the Boko Haram kidnapping these Nigerian schoolgirls, I'm really sinking my teeth into this. And Agador, of course, is an inspiration and getting my birds going here. But you know what? We do have this demo going on in Rotherham on Saturday. But I really wanted to concentrate on the foot soldiers here in the studio joining us. And, of course, that's Tommy English and Sonny England. And, Tommy, first, you're going to Rotherham because of the sex grooming gangs, which is, seems to be a never-ending scenario. Now, when people like Agador join and they bring these articles to our attention, and that schoolgirls are being taken as brides by militants, does that not resonate with you because you are fighting against these sex grooming gangs in Rotherham on Saturday, aren't you, Tommy?
Exactly. I'll tell you something. Every time I hear a story about a young girl getting married off or young girls getting raped, you know, it don't take a lot to go right down my spine. Every time I read an article, you know, I get a very awful twinge going right down my back, like static. You just cringe. It makes me feel sick. You just kind of think to yourself, how can anybody have an attraction to kids?
Yeah.
Basically, I think that sort of mentality is absolutely disgusting. I think Jeff was right. Those sort of people have to be eradicated because it's just not right. And the fact that their so-called perfect man, who, as we all know, had married Aisha when she was six and her sister when she was nine, It's absolutely mind-boggling, the fact that how he got groups like Amnesty International, UAF, Obama, David Cameron. Islam is a religion of peace. Okay then, Cameron, tell that to the people of New York. Talk to the people of London. Talk to the people of Barcelona. Talk to the people of Madrid, of Berlin, of Stockholm. Tell it to Lee Rigby's mother. Look her in the eyes and say, Islam is a religion of peace.
And tell it to the 300, the 250-odd young girls' parents that this Islam is a religion of peace. Tell them to those people, Tommy, eh? You know,
oh,
that's
yes,
it.
Jeff, absolutely.
Look them in
absolutely.
The eyes.
Absolutely, and I was wondering what Sonny England has to say about this as well,
yes.
Sonny.
You know, like you said, it's absolutely disgusting, you know. You constantly hear on a day-to-day basis Islam, the religion of peace, and David Cameron, like they can't do nothing wrong in David Cameron's eyes, and Obama, and they're always saying, "Oh, leave Islam alone." But you know, it comes out. How many more young girls, whether it's in over in Africa or whether it's here or Germany or America, how many young girls and are going to be raped? How many more parents are going to have to witness and live through life supporting their daughter or their son after they've been raped? How many times, how many explosions, and how many people have got dying suicide? How many people lose their families due to the savage ways of Islam? You know, it's disgusting. You know, like Tommy said, you try to say that, but when you see David Khan on TV, they're like he describes them like the Teletubbies. Like everyone loves them. They're God's gift to everything. No, they're not. You know, the sooner people open up their eyes, because what's going on out here? At the minute with this problem, 250 schoolgirls, that's an absolute outrage. It's disgusting, you know what I mean? You've got young girls. It could happen in Africa or over that way. It's happening there, so it's not doing us. And I'm sure quite soon we'd have David Cameron or Obama on radio or on the TV saying that, oh, it's not Muslims, it's Christians, because there's too many white Christians over there. That's why they do, you know.
Yeah, we
really
said something like that before, didn't he, Sonny? I think it's disgusting that a Prime Minister should open... He should engage his brain before he opens his mouth, this Prime Minister. How dare he? And the way that he also, Sonny, remember what he said? That it's not the Muslims that should adapt to us, but it's us that should adapt to them. This is a betrayal of the good people of this country. He's betraying everything just so that he can win
power. He wants the people to vote for him. But I wouldn't vote. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather put my head in a boil of boiling water than vote for him or any of his cohorts. It's disgraceful, totally disgraceful. But, Sonny, it's good to hear your views, and I think we're all... I said this before, and I still believe it. When I see these things, Tommy, Sonny, Kel, Tim, I look at these group people, I look at them that there's nothing good for them to be totally eradicated, to be wiped off the face of this earth. When people do that to young children, I've got no respect for human life, dignities, or anything associated with it. What can you do? What can you do? Stand there and say, well, you mustn't do this. We'll give you a bit of paper and say, you were naughty Burbages and you mustn't do it. No, they need firm force to be dealt with, these people. I may be going a little bit far in my views tonight, and I do apologise, ladies and gentlemen, but I can't help it because that's the only way I can see to deal with
these issues. Hey, you know what? You never have to apologise for your viewpoints, Jeff, because you know what? You're always bang on the money, so never, ever feel you have to apologise for what you're feeling, because you know what? You are conveying everything that we feel, and you are right on.
When will the government realise
that
appeasement does not work? When will they actually realise that? I mean, basically, if you look back to 1934, when James starts rearming itself, oh, it's okay, you know, they've treated Versailles, not worry about it. Then they go and occupy the Rhineland, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. Then they annex Austria, nothing. Then they annex Czechoslovakia, nothing. Then they annex Slovakia, nothing. They go to Hungary, nothing. Then when they go to Poland, that's when they start to realise, oh, now I've got to do something. At that point, I'm sorry, it's too late. They built their army up. They built the forces up. We've got to remember as well, guys, not that I'm going to slag off the British forces here, but we did enter World War II in a very, very bad way. Because
we did, Tommy.
Because we were still using World War I weapons. We didn't have machine guns. We were using bolt-action rifles. They had semi-automatic. We used biplanes. They had monoplanes. So when it actually came to the fall of France, and we had this, thank God we had the Spitfire and the Hurricane, so, you know, thank God for that.
Oh, yeah.
It was just there were too few of them, but basically it wasn't the machines that won the battle; it was the pilots. Because
they're true heroes, and some of them only been just. I mean, coming to the later stages, the Battle of Britain, a lot of them had only learnt to fly over maybe 7, 8, 9 hours of flying time, and these young people were going up and taking on the Luftwaffe and doing a great job for this country, and would have probably saved us from probably even being invasion. If we'd have lost that fight, this would have been invasion. I think it's quite, you know, we've spoken about this before. But
well, oh, England never would have lost. England never, ever would have lost.
No, we'd never give up.
England is of a much stronger stock.
I will tell you something.
I've
recently bought a book on 242 Squadron, and it was called the Squadron That Lost the Most Planes But Lost Few Pilots. Now, I was reading it. It's kind of funny because it's written by an old pilot of 242 Squadron. They started off the battle with, I think it was 250 working Hurricanes. And by the time they won the Battle of Britain, they had three left. And basically, at the end of the Battle of Britain, when Hugh Dowden went down, and he said, why have you lost over 240 planes and only lost 5 pilots? And the commanding officer said, I trained my pilots that when they ran out of bullets to crash their planes with German bombers. And they said they actually did that. What they would do is that if they run out of ammo and you got a full formation of German bombers coming over, they'd actually tell the pilots to ram them and bail out. Because being able to get a hurricane coming down, you've got a German bomber coming down.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had some balls to do that, Tom, didn't you? So I was going to say, Tom, and Sonny, I was going to say, it's always great to hear a couple of our young lads on the show this evening. But also, Tim, you've been sitting there very quietly listening to what we've been discussing.
Jeff,
and now,
you're a mind reader.
I always love you because you have to digest.
Yeah, well,
What I was thinking about this particular story that Agador brought up with the Nigerian girls being abducted by Boko Haram, and as everybody has demonstrated on the show tonight, it's a subject that brings up very strong emotions, because, I mean, we're naturally programmed to protect vulnerable young girls. That's part of the genetic makeup that makes us who we are. And so it's not surprising that we're very strong emotions are aroused by stories like this. So the natural reaction is to do something about it. I mean, we're starting to see, as it was mentioned at the start of the show, we're starting to see noises coming across from the UK and the United States. You know, people are actually starting to think, well, maybe there's something we ought to be doing to rescue these poor girls. Well, from a logistical point of view, that actually might be quite difficult, because Nigeria is a country that's many times the size of the United Kingdom. Mm. And to actually find 200 girls who by now are probably split up, they're married to these various militants, and they're spread over an enormous area, to try and do something about these specific girls now, I hate to say it, might be logistically quite a difficult thing to do. But nevertheless, passions have been aroused, and if we can use this to bring to everybody's attention the absolute and utter evil of Islam, well, that's a start. Okay, if we can start countering, because now we're starting to see there was a story a little earlier on the show tonight about somebody saying, oh, well, you know, this isn't Islamically sanctioned. There was, I remember reading the story before the show tonight, that some Islamic cleric had come on and said, of course, what Boko Haram are doing, it doesn't have any sanction in Islam. Again, you know, it's taqiyya, because it is completely sanctioned by Islam. Islam was built on slavery, amongst other things, and it's perfectly legitimate for Muslims to take sex slaves in that fashion. So what they were doing was Islamically justified, and that revolting character, I forget his name now, who stood up on TV and said, well, we're going to take these girls and sell them in the market, from an Islamic point of view, perfectly justified. And I think it's Quran chapter 4 verse 3 that sanctions this. I might have to double check, because I'm doing this from memory, but nevertheless it's all completely sanctioned in Islam. And if we can use this as a teaching moment and say to, you know, bring it out into the general public awareness that this is an awful thing to have happened, without a doubt it's aroused passions in everybody, quite rightly, but let's just be realistic here and say this is sanctioned in Islam, and anybody who tells you different is just lying their little Muslim head off to you, because it's one of the founding principles of Islam, that if you capture girls of like 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, you can use them in this manner, and your conscience will not trouble you in the slightest if you're a Muslim, because it's Islamically sanctioned. And we have to get that out there and make people see that despite all the denials and the obfuscation and the taqiyya that's out there, this is pure Islam. This is what Islam looks like when there's nobody around to stop it. And, you know, I mean, people might say, well, let's make ourselves feel good by sending in a squad of SAS-trained soldiers and go and rescue these girls, you know, like Indiana Jones and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It'll make them feel good if we do something like that. But it won't actually, it'll be logistically a terrible problem to try and get to grips with, because it's not as if they're all in one place by now. They're spread all over the country. The chances of actually getting them back in a military operation are probably next to nil. I hate to say it, but we can still use this.
Well, they can all send the drones in, though, Tim.
You can't, because with a country that's like many times the size of the UK, exactly what are you going to bomb? What are you going to achieve? Far better to take this example and publicise it everywhere while the iron is hot, while people's passions are aroused, and make everybody see that this is Islam, red in tooth and claw, and this is what will be the fate of our children if we allow Islam to get a further foothold in our society. And you can use Rotherham as part of this teaching moment. You know, you can say the EDL are going to Rotherham to protest against exactly the same Islamic imperative to take young, vulnerable girls as sex slaves. It's been highlighted in lots of detail by the Law and Freedom Foundation's report, which came out in March. You can point to that. This completely. I have sympathy and empathy towards the families of the girls who were kidnapped. I mean, who wouldn't? Okay, it must be absolutely awful for them. But realistically, the best thing that could come out of this is the ability to use it as a teaching moment and bring it to everybody's attention that this is exactly what Islam sanctions, and that anybody who denies it is just indulging in taqiyya.
Well said,
absolutely,
Tim,
and well said. And Jeff, I'm sorry, I'm stepping on you a little bit because we are down to the last less than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We have Michael Green that has been sitting very quietly, but because this is Agador's platform, Agador also has something that he would like to share after Michael Green has something to say.
Okay.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay. I got the floor first. Thanks very much, Agador. You're great. It's the first time I listened to you, also, and I believe you're an American. Are you?
Oh yes, and I'm the unpleasant blind guy on YouTube. Just check me out there.
I will. Thanks. Okay. Here are some of my thoughts. First of all, whether the UK is going to send in special operations forces to deal with this. I don't understand why the West has this absurd habit of telegraphing their intentions militarily to the enemy. Obama's done this for years. I'm sure David Cameron's done it. If you're going to send in SAS people or anybody with that kind of highly evolved skill, you know, special ops people, there's no point in letting these savages know that they're coming. You know, years ago, these things were done very quietly, and our people went in there and they got the job done, and that's the way it should be. I think it was just done for political reasons to make it seem as if everyone's so concerned now. By the way, I found a story during this discussion today on the internet about 140 young girls in Bangladesh who were rescued from madrasas who were being held as sex slaves. So this story got a lot of publicity, but there's been many, many others that never saw the light of day. And Tim, you're right about what you said. We got to get the truth out there because the cable news media and the network news medias will never, ever disseminate the truth. They will whitewash it, just like I made reference to the Fox News opinion posted at their website today. So shows like this are vitally important to disseminate the truth.
Thank you, Michael. I was going to say it's always a pleasure to take it. It's great to have you back on the show this evening. Yeah, I've been sadly missed, Mike, and it's always great to have you on the show, and hope you'll be back more as well, because we love having you here, brother. But I was going to pass it along to Agador, because you've got some points you want to make as well, as you have two great American friends there. So go ahead, Agador, brother.
All right, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Yeah, this is really kind of Paul Weston, or Paul Alexander's point, sorry, because Paul's mixed up. This is Paul Alexander's point, you should check him out on the Facebook. He reminds us that the media attention is focused as it should be on the girls at this point. But we also have to remember that in these village attacks and in these school attacks and everything, you know, there are many, many boys that are just being killed outright. If you look at any of the pictures of these things, you know, you see these young boys, you know, it's just a horror. So it's not just the girls who are in a living hell. You know, they've already killed many, many young boys. Which just adds to the egregiousness of their crimes. And I tend to agree with Tim. I think that the best thing we can do is to use this and say, guys, this isn't just a few bad apples. This is what Islam engenders. This is all of Islam. It's just the dirty, nasty Islam. I think, as Tommy was pointing out, that's there when there's nobody around to stop them. And I'll turn it back over to you, Jeff. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Agador, and of course, and to Michael as well. And that's what we love, having your perspective on things as well, guys.
Is it Turkey our right hand possesses? Is that it?
Sorry?
Is it Turkey whether your right hand possesses?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. That refers to sex slavery.
Hang on, Tommy.
Is that
What's the
Quranic reference verse, chapter and verse, Tommy?
I can't remember that. I think
it might be
the left hand or the right hand.
I think it's somewhere in chapter 4. It might be chapter 4, verse 3. Not that it matters. But yeah, you're right. That's the verse I was thinking of.
I've got my Quran now. I'm going to quickly flick through it.
No, that's... but that's a good point, you see. All the aspects that we talk about, you know, Tim's talking about verse 3, verse 4 of the Quran, the surahs, this, that, and the other. And this is all what Islam is all about, guys. You know, we talk about, we see the slavery, we see the total inhumanity for man against his fellow man and against young children. This is what we've got. This is what we've got in front of us, and we must deal with it. And as you say, Tim, what we do with the shows is we're pointing it out there. We don't try to, you know, sort of mislead anybody, but everything we got is fact. We're not like the Muslims. We don't give anybody tequila or anything like that. We tell the truth. The truth is Islam is a credible threat to you, your families, your loved ones. Take it from me, if it isn't at this moment in time, in the very near future, I can assure you it will be, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you might be, whatever part of the world, guaranteed it's coming your way. Time to step up, time to stop sort of beating around the bushes, time to join with us with this fight against these people, this evil ideology out there, ladies and gentlemen. It's our time. We can't leave it any longer. We must continue what we are doing now, and we will finally see the end of this. It's going to take time, isn't it, guys? Kel, Tim, you know, this is going to take time.
Oh, yeah, it does. It sounds really good.
Will.
Go. Yeah, sorry, Kel.
No, I was just going to say that, yeah, I mean, time is of the essence, and people know that. We talk on these radio programs. We have the Radio Jihad Network. We have the Red Fox Blogger. We have the EDL radio program, and we have people in our chat room that are always keeping us apprised, sending us links. People are aware what's going on out there. We do not entertain idiots. We entertain the like-minded, and they are the ones that get the word out further. I also want to thank Jeff, too, that A12 Iggy Mom just joined us in the chat room, as did Angel M.
Iggy Mom.
And as did the captain. So, hey, guys.
Yes.
Glad you guys could be here. There you go. But, no, Jeff, you know, it's so important, gentlemen, and we can't stop. We can't quit. And you cannot cannot go about this sort of this is a really hard job, and you can't do it half-assed. You're either fully in or get the hell out. Because if you're not fully committed to the anti-jihadist movement, then you're just wasting your time. You look at people like Sonny England and Tommy English. You look at these young men. They're foot soldiers, but they're big voices as well. They work so hard in the movement, the EDL movement. You look at people like Steve Adels. You look at people like Martin Hyde. You look at people like Jeff Mitchell. And these men are working very, very hard. You look at the EDL angels that we have. We have people like Christy Lone Star that works very hard in the United States. You look at, just look around you. We are fighting so very hard, and we're doing it for you. Because as Tim would say, as Jeff would say, Tommy, everybody, Michael Green, everybody would say to you, Agador would say to you, Sunny would say to you, if we stop doing what we're doing, we're giving up. We're giving up the fight. But you know what? Every single voice you hear on EDL Radio is your voice, too. And you know what? We are all going to die with our boots on. We're not going to allow the scourge to overtake us because we have worked
no
too
surrender.
Hard to protect our legacy. And there you go, Jeff.
No surrender, Kel. I was going to say, if you don't mind me, Kel, I'm just going to interject a little bit from Angel, who's coming to the chat room this evening. And she's going, and against believers in Jesus Christ, we are the blasphemers to them, and they will have our heads off. Fight the evil. And that's what our angel said. That's one of the comments that is so we get great comments, and I love this chat room, I've got to admit. But absolutely fantastic links going in, and everybody's chatting, and it's a really great place to be. And I'll just give a big thumbs up, Iggy, I'll see you there. So, well, and you know what, Kel? And guys, it has been such a busy. I didn't realise Thursday night was going to be such a busy night. It's a night, but the studio was lit up like a Christmas. Been lit up like a Christmas tree all evening. The studio, the chat room has been, as I say, going along with great speed, and I've got to thank everybody. But I say, what are we down to, Kel? We're down to about six minutes, basically, of the remainder of the show.
5 minutes
evening.
And 37 seconds, boss.
Are we? My goodness me, she's bang on it. Thank you, Kel. So, once again, as I say, we'll be back again tomorrow night, won't we, guys? I've got to thank Michael Green. Thank you so much for being here tonight and joining us, because it's been a little while, and it's so great to hear your voice this evening.
It is, Michael. It's wonderful to hear from you. We hope that we hear from you more often.
Well,
it's great
to
be here.
Michael, come and visit us anytime, or come and be a part of our team, and we love having you here. Agador, as usual.
How many panelists do you want? My goodness, I'm herding cats already.
Oh, I love it all.
Well,
you know, I love him.
Come on.
We got great people.
No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm kidding, Jeff.
Kel,
you know
I'm
kidding.
We just need to get a bigger round table.
No,
now.
You know what? If we could have these many people on a panel every show, our work is done. Because the more voices we have, Jeff, the better we're doing. Our work is getting out there, and people are paying attention. So, yeah, Michael, it would be great to have you back as a regular when you can find the time.
And you know what? I've got to give a great a big thumbs up to and a big hug, a group hug from us all, everybody that's associated with our dear sweet Sue from New Mexico. It's so good to see. She's blushing now, probably, Kel. There you go, Sue.
We all love them. Come on then, everybody. Group hug. Come on, Sue. You can't
group
get away.
Hug
group hug for Sue. Sweet Sue from New Mexico.
Love you, Sue.
And
you
know what?
Away.
Sue really does deserve the accolades because she gets the shows out for us on Twitter, and half the people that are here is because Sue from New Mexico is getting the word out on our behalf, Jeff. And
oh,
Connie.
She works hard.
And Sonny.
Bless you, Sue.
And
it's
Tim,
so good to have
and
you back
Agador,
home as well.
And Michael. And okay, who
yes,
else is
well,
in the studio?
Unfortunately, Sue
we've had Tim here as well tonight. He's been busy, Kel.
Yeah.
There you go, Tim. It's always a pleasure having you here, brother. You bring so much to the table. Here, Tim, you know it's our round table. He hasn't been scratching the table lately, Kel. He's been keeping them little gloves on when he jumps on the table now.
I think Tim brings a bit of class and elegance to the show.
That's very kind of you, Tommy.
Yeah, I love it when he shows up in his revolving bow tie and his little bell around you know, his collar. Yeah, that's class, all right.
Thing is, well, there,
I know,
Kel,
I want one of those, Kel.
With the likes of me and Jeff brought up on the back streets and council estates, Tim's brought up in a very posh Labour middle class area.
He's one of the lads, Tim.
There you go, there you go. Brings a touch of class
he's
into this ordinary
like
working
stiff. Like Michael, he's one of us, and God bless you, Tim.
And to everybody, a part of this panel tonight,
horror.
The team, you, it's a demo fever tomorrow night, the eve of the Rotherham demonstration, and we'll be back tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening as much as we've done presenting. Sometimes we get a little bit angry with things, but can you blame us, guys? Can you blame us when we hear these horrific stories that comes out of Nigeria and all over the world with this Islamic scourge, what we see before us? Can't blame
before
any of us.
Before we go as well, guys, BBC Three after the show, Nigel Farage is going to debate with the Green Party.
Where's that on BBC One?
Question time tonight, isn't it?
Okay,
BBC
then, buddy.
BBC Three.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much. BBC Three? Okay, guess what, guys? Okay, guys, I've got to say now, Kel, once again, fantastic slides, fantastic. What you've been doing tonight, helping out with everything you do, Kel, has been great. And, of course, to Agador, to everybody tonight that's contributed to the English Defence League radio show, big salute to you all. Thank you so much, guys. For our listening audience out there, and, of course, everybody in the chat room, take care, stay safe. God bless you all. Not forgetting, no surrender ever. And we'll be back tomorrow night. So with that, we're going underground. Good night, guys.
Good night,
everybody.
Good
night, everyone.
Good night, Tom.
No surrender ever.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Kim.
Good night,
Public wants what?